We'll be reading from the Message, a translation or paraphrase by Peterson of Proverbs chapter 8. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madame Insight raising her voice? She's taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection. Right in the city square where the traffic is thickest, she shouts, "You! I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here in the streets. Listen, you idiots. Learn good sense. You blockheads, shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. My mouth chews and savors and relishes truth. I can't stand the taste of evil. You'll only hear true and right words from my mouth. Not one syllable will be twisted or skewed. You'll recognize this as true, you with open minds. Truth-ready minds will see it at once. Prefer my life disciplines over chasing after money and God knowledge over a lucrative career. For wisdom is better than all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her."
I am Lady Wisdom, and I live next to Sanity. Knowledge and discretion live just down the street. The fear of God means hating evil, whose ways I hate with a passion. Pride and arrogance and crooked talk. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I am both insight and the virtue to live it out. With my help, leaders rule and lawmakers legislate fairly. With my help, governors govern, along with all in legitimate authority. I love those who love me. Those who look for me find me. Wealth and glory accompany me. Also substantial honor and a good name. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed my imaginable bonus. You can find me on Righteous Road. That's where I walk, at the intersection of Justice Avenue, handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life.
God sovereignly made me, the first, the basic, before he did anything else. I was brought into being a long time ago, well before Earth got its start. I arrived on the scene before ocean. Yes, even before springs and rivers and lakes, before mountains were sculpted and hills took shape. I was already there, newborn. Long before God stretched out Earth's horizons and tended to the minute details of soil and weather and set sky firmly in place, I was there. When he mapped and gave borders to wild ocean, built the vast vault of heaven, and installed the fountains that fed ocean. When he drew a boundary for sea, posted a sign that said, "No trespassing," and then staked out Earth's foundations. I was right there with him, making sure everything fit. Day after day, I was there with my joyful applause, always enjoying his company. Delighted with the world of things and creatures, happily celebrating the human family.
So, my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace these my ways are most blessed. Mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Blessed the man, blessed the woman who listens to me, awake and ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work. When you find me, you find life, real life, to say nothing of God's good pleasure. But if you wrong me, you damage your very soul. When you reject me, you are flirting with death.
That was a very different version of that you may have not heard in that way before. How many of you have read the eighth chapter of Proverbs recently? Okay, recently. Well, recently is sort of a subjective term. You did. Was it because I typed in and said, hey, read this? Oh. Okay, I'm going to try to do that a little more, give you a heads up and let you pre-think before coming to church, which is nice. So I decided to have the whole chapter read because it just seemed to break it off at any point, wreck the poetry of that whole portion of Scripture. So thank you for that good reading. In the beginning of Proverbs, this personified voice, of course, is personified in the feminine as and known as Lady Wisdom or Wisdom Woman by many. And the Greek word is Sophia. And biblical thinkers in the Christian tradition have suggested that this personified voice in Proverbs may point to the third person of the Trinity, that is the Holy Spirit, or some have thought that wisdom may be the very spirit and person of Jesus, who had, if you recall from Colossians 1:17 says, he, that is Christ, is before all things, and in him things all hold together. Now, this is a very high Christology, right? Very, very divine, you know, kind of cosmic understanding of the second person of the Trinity, which is Christ. And compare that with Proverbs 8:22-23 that says, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. So, it's a little, you know, we can play with this idea of Lady Wisdom and exactly, you know, what component of the divine spirit wisdom is, but I think we can safely say wisdom is both spirit, as in our understanding of the Holy Spirit of God, but it's also manifest in our best attributes as human beings. It's something that speaks to our human nature. When wisdom is experienced and expressed into the world through human action and thought, it is, I suggest, and I think the Bible would affirm this, is very expression of God in the world. One question I had, and I asked you to think about, is what is wisdom? When we say that word, what are we talking about? We have, sometimes it's associated with age, right? Vera, you're our oldest member. 100 years of life. Could you tell us what wisdom is? That's very wise. There's a paradoxical nature to wisdom. You embody wisdom as much as anything in many respects. So what is wisdom? It wasn't fair of me to put you on the spot, Vera, by the way. Well, we'll think about that a little bit. Has something to do, as I think most of us say, with experience. It's more than knowledge. It's something beyond knowledge. One question we may ask ourselves, where does it come from? And I think we would answer, it comes from God. But how does it come to us, maybe as an important of a question? How does wisdom come to us? I think we can say that wisdom is essential to living the Christian faith, right? We can agree with that. If you are a Christian, you must be in the process of becoming wise. that is open to the Spirit of God speaking to you and through you, through your experience, through your learning, through your understanding. But I also would suggest, I don't think wisdom is an exclusive gift of the Christian path. It is essential to the Christian path, but other traditions value wisdom too. Wisdom is found amongst all God's human creatures. On the outside of the church, on the billboard, I put up a quote that says, "Knowledge talks and wisdom listens." And the actual, as I read it, was actually, "Knowledge speaks, wisdom listens," but I ran out of S's, so I had to figure out a different word. So it's the same meaning. This short proverb, as I understand, is a quote from the guitarist Jimi Hendrix, who died of a drug overdose decades ago. And as far as I know, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but Lady Wisdom, I would say, isn't confined or constrained by any one particular belief or even one's own righteousness. As Jesus reminded us when he was having a theological conversation with Nicodemus, he says, "The Spirit blows where it will. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Lady Wisdom will not be controlled or contained or limited. She is sovereign. And to befriend her, all we have to do is be open, be still, and be prayerful. She speaks through our experiences of success, but even more so from our failures. She speaks to us in our pleasures and in our miseries. She speaks to us through our own experiences, as well as when we listen and heed the experiences taught to us by others. She speaks to us in books, in movies, in poems. She speaks to us in nature and in science. She speaks to us in the form of wonder and questions. She speaks to us through spiritual disciplines of prayer and scripture reading. She speaks to us in music and in all forms of art. She speaks to us in the vulnerability and openness we see when children are playing or when they're crying or when they're open and laughing. She speaks to us in our dreams at night. She speaks to us in our longings and our hopes and our aspirations. She speaks to us in the stories of old and in the patience they come to learn. She speaks to us in strangers and family. She speaks to us in stories of those we may consider strange. Maybe they're poor or mentally troubled or homeless. She speaks to us when we ask questions about how things are, such as, why are there homeless people in the first place? She speaks to us when we have the courage to question old assumptions that we previously thought may have been unquestionable. Lady Wisdom, I guess we could say, is an untamable spirit who doesn't care so much about what we want, but gives us what we need. Rolling Stone said that, but it's true. She always moves us in directions of growth and learning. To use our Christian language, she moves us as we move in discipleship. Discipleship is a process of becoming wise in Christ. She is the one from whom all spirit and spiritual growth comes from. In part, why I focus on the personified voice of the Spirit as Lady Wisdom this morning is precisely because it is Mother's Day. And mind you, I recognize that Mother's Day is not a biblical holiday or a Christian holiday per se, but it might as well be. And I'm okay with that. It's good and right to consider mothers. We all, as I said at the beginning of our service, we all have had one. That's obvious. And most of us, most of our mothers did amazing jobs in raising us. But I also recognize that some maybe did not do so well. I think we all owe it to ourselves at some point as we grow in wisdom to get to that point, hopefully, where we can say she did the best she could. For those who carry deep parental wounds, I acknowledge that this can be a huge task and a struggle. Finding peace in our upbringing can be a lifetime of challenge. And that said, I believe that all of us can point to at least one or two female figures in our lives who had significant positive impacts upon us. Maybe a mother, or maybe an aunt or a cousin, maybe a teacher or a family friend, maybe a sister or a sister in Christ. Today is the day we give acknowledgement to those who have personified the feminine spirit of nurture and strength and wisdom to us. So let us at least acknowledge that these are the ones whom God has sent into our lives to bless us and help us in the path that is in this not so easy human condition we find ourselves in. And whatever received gift it is that we acknowledge, let us resolve to pass that gift on to others whom God has placed in our care. And while Lady Wisdom is all about our best interests and the interests of the whole, let us not forget that she wields the sword of truth and justice, as well as compassion and nurture. All prophets, all those who speak the truth, be they male or female, knew or know that wisdom's truth does not grow faint when it comes to speaking hard realities. Many of you, I'm sure, are aware that the origins of Mother's Day is. But for some of you, this may be new information. Before the day was incorporated by the Hallmark greeting card world, it started as a strong protest against war and was a strong voice for peace. Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic, lived through the Civil War, called for a day for women to come together. And so I wanted to read this proclamation. It's rather short, but you know, this is an example of Lady Wisdom, of wisdom speaking through a human's experience. This is the voice of the Spirit. She says, "Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears, stay firmly. We will not have great questions decided by irreverent agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each learning after their own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and of humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and at the earliest period consistent with its objects to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace." So there you go. There's where Mother's Day got started. From those kind of words, I get the sense that Lady Wisdom doesn't mess around. She's clear and she's firm, And she may be patient and long-suffering, but she doesn't stand for nonsense. And it makes me think of my own grandma on my mother's side. She was kind of like that. She wouldn't put up with nonsense or let us wallow in self-pity for too long. I recall she would, kind of like Jesus, say, pick up your pallet and walk. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Lady Wisdom comes to us through our grandmas sometimes. I recall a joke, although I'm really, really terrible at jokes, and basically what I'm going to relate to you more or less is the punchline. If I recall, it was a situation where there was a theological conversation happening, and there were men and women together, and at some point the conversation turns to the gender of God, and the woman in the group at some point says, well, I think God must have been a man because a woman would never put up with all the nonsense of humanity. I guess that's as good an argument for the male gender of God as any I've heard. But we know that God is male, neither male nor female, although we use metaphors predominantly in the male from our biblical text. Truth is, we know that even though Jesus uses the image of Father, it is the predominant image used in the church. God is beyond, as I said, gender, and both male and female genders reflect the nature of God. We do ascribe certain qualities of the feminine and masculine, as you know, this is masculine and this is feminine. But I think we do best when we learn to integrate and honor all the aspects that protect, nurture, and preserve life. Men are called by the Spirit to be nurturing and caring, qualities we often associate with the feminine, and women are called to be protectors of boundaries and bold in action and speech, qualities we stereotypically associate with the male. Lady Wisdom calls out to all. So where have you seen Lady Wisdom at work lately? From whom has she manifest herself? That's the question. Are we paying attention? I know I'm not most days, as well as I should. I'll tell you a little story of this my week. A few days ago, there was a I was going to Fred Meyer's to get some, some groceries. And there was a man out front sitting in a chair with his wagon. And on the wagon was written, it was a wagon, like a kid's wagon. I think it was a garden variety that you might use to haul your plats of flowers in or something, but it had a protective little house over it made out of corrugated plastic, and it said, equal and unconditional love for all fellow creatures across all space, time, matter, energy is the only way out of human misery. I am walking across the world to spread the message above. I have no money and do not want any. I just need any food and water. And I thought that was interesting. This is an interesting guy. So I asked him about it, and he told me a little bit about himself. He started on a journey from Bellingham, Washington, about 6 months ago, and he's devoted the rest of his life to just walking and doing what he's doing, setting up somewhere where people come and go and talking to him about peace and equal and unconditional love. And his name was Bing. And so I go into the store, and I get what I'm going to get, and then I'm thinking, well, I could get him something to eat, and then I think, well, no, I'll just give him $5, you know, and then he can get what he wants. So I offer him $5, and he said, no, I don't want any money. I'm fine. Thank you. I said, well, do you have somewhere to stay? And he says, well, I stayed last night at St. Mary's Church, but the police chased me off. He said, yeah, I might be interested. And I said, well, I live at 3135 West Franklin. And this is about 6 o'clock in the evening. And he says, well, I said, you know where that is? He said, I have a good memory. I'll find it. I said, I'll show up about 9, between 9 and 10. I said, okay, that's great. Well, it gets to be about 10:30, and he's not there, and I go to sleep. And about 12:30 at night, I hear, and of course, I know that that's my friend Bing coming. And he showed up, and I let him in and showed him where the bed was. He had been wandering around. You know, this Franklin Street that I live on is sort of a short street. It was confusing to him. He spent at least 2 hours wandering around looking for it. But he finally found me, and he stayed the night. In fact, he stayed 2 nights. In fact, I invited him to come to church, but he went on to Corvallis yesterday, I guess. So he said if he didn't show up last night, he wasn't obviously going to be here. So he's in Corvallis, I guess, giving his message. Now, Bing came to me because I happened to run into him and strike up a conversation and invited him to stay overnight, and I was intrigued by him. I could have walked past him, or I could have been less hospitable than I was, but in this case, I was open and this little encounter illustrates how I think wisdom often comes to us. It comes to us in chance encounters when we open ourselves up to interactions with others we don't necessarily have on a regular basis. I could tell you more about this interesting fellow and what his story is. He just to paraphrase, he immigrated from China to Canada, and then he's educated. He's a aeronautical engineer, but he was also despairing of life and suicidal a number of times, and he went back to China to bid his parents goodbye. He said he went to give them back his life, and I'm not sure exactly what that meant. But in the process, he had an epiphany that suicide wasn't the way out, and instead he's dedicated the rest of his life to walking around like a monk, I guess, not owning anything and having a simple message of peace. So that's what he's about. A chance encounter with somebody through whom folly or wisdom is speaking. I'm not sure. I think it's wisdom. But as we know, as people of faith, sometimes God's wisdom is foolishness to the wise. Jesus was thought to be a fool by many. And we know he was wiser than anyone we know. And let's think for a minute about Jesus. We read in the Gospels almost all of his encounters with others were unplanned, weren't they? Things seemingly happened spontaneously. He has a chance encounter with a Samaritan woman at a well. He reaches out to an odd little man named Zacchaeus he notices up in a tree. Or he comes upon a woman about to be stoned to death for the crime of adultery. All these things are encounters that happen to him. And embedded within these encounters, as well as in our own, are the possibilities of receiving the blessings of wisdom. So, what more can we say? God is not through with us, is God. Lady Wisdom is a part of God speaking to us. The question always is, are we listening? And that is the task for us, to be open to the Holy Spirit of God, is to train ourselves and honor and be grateful that God continues to speak to us and will not stop. And the question for us, the challenge for us, is, are we listening? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are Father and Mother, that you are the one who watches over us, who cares for us. We ask that you will open our minds and open our hearts to the wisdom you bring to us every day, every moment. We are grateful that you call out to us from the street corners. We are grateful that you care enough about us that we grow into your likeness, that we become more and more like your Son, Jesus, every day. Help us on that path. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Continue to speak to us. Help us to see the many, many ways that you are manifest in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.